Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can follow us on Twitter at JohnWright777
and ChrisWright250. This is episode, I think, 69.
This is 69.
If I'm not mistaken.
You are correct.
Awesome.
You are correct. Was that just a guess, a wild speculation?
It was not a wild speculation. It was an informed guess.
Okay, good.
I thought I remembered what last week was, but I couldn't really remember.
I like it. Dude, we've been at it for 69 episodes.
It's crazy.
It's nuts, man.
Yeah.
Time flies.
Time does fly.
This week, we are talking about a fall movie preview.
Yeah.
So we're going to go through some movies, talk about them, give some thoughts.
Tell you which ones to watch.
Yeah, basically, you know.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to this week, though, Chris?
Oh, man. Well, you and I just got back from a baseball game.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Went to the Nashville Sounds baseball game. It was the final. They're moving stadiums. They're tearing down this one, and it is very old and in need of tearing down.
Yep.
And they are building a new one, actually on the other side of town. And so they might not tear down this one. I don't know. I
feel like it's a good field. They could repurpose it towards some other things. It was at capacity. Like, because it was the last night or whatever, it was packed, like jam packed with people. And so when
it is not a large place.
No, it's not a large place. And the concessions and stuff are all in the same little area. And so there were like lines crossing other lines. And I mean, it was just like, you know, if somebody was in line, it's like, how do you know what line you're in?
Yeah, this is the Nashville Sounds. They're a minor league team. They're associated with the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah.
They're one of their farm clubs. And so we went out there for the last ball game there.
Yeah.
First and last for
me.
Yeah, for you.
Yeah.
And I had been there briefly. I'd never stayed for – that was the longest I've stayed at a game there.
Right on.
Yes. I was there before.
It's good. Well, it was fun. It was good fun. It was out there. We were just sweating it up in the stands for while there.
Oh yeah,
it was
very hot,
very humid.
The
experience.
Restrooms, especially, were just very, very hot. They're sweaty, and that's the worst thing. It's the last thing you want to happen while you're going in to do your business, and it's just so hot, dude. Like,
yeah,
I walked out of there, sweat pouring off of me.
That's awful.
Yes.
That sounds just terrible.
It was terrible.
It sounds like the worst experience ever.
It was one of the worst experiences of my day.
Already off to an entertaining beginning of this. So,
have you been playing any games lately?
Me? I've been playing, I've been just kind of biding my time until Destiny comes out.
Yeah.
You know, that comes out in a couple weeks here.
Watch any shows?
Watch any shows. I've actually picked up Young Justice is on Netflix. And so I've been watching through season one of that. It's awesome.
Nice.
I really enjoy it. So it lasted two seasons on Cartoon Network before it got canceled. It was kind of one of the ones that was plagued in that like DC hour or whatever it was of shows, but it was plagued with like this intermittency, like where they would like play a bunch of it and then 2 weeks later, nowhere to be found for like 3 or 4 weeks. Kind of what happened like with Arrow on the CW this last season.
Yeah.
To where it was just really sparse. It's a really good show, and a lot of the storylines kind of connect from episode to episode. And so the disconnectedness or disjointedness of a presentation, I could see how that would really kind of frustrate people and kind of plague the ratings, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's two seasons, which is that's actually a pretty good run for a show like that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Over the weekend, I did lots of things, John.
Lots of things.
Lots of things. I'm catching up with Under the Dome season 2.
Nice. Did that ever get like really good?
Season 2?
I don't know.
Have you watched season 2?
No, I haven't watched season 2. I watched the first part of season 1 and it just didn't go anywhere for the first 4 or 5 episodes.
You didn't watch the end of season 1?
No.
Season 2 is better.
Okay.
And we're making lots of progress now.
So things are moving.
Things are really moving.
Are we still under the dome?
I cannot tell
you.
You
can't spoil that. Okay.
But
I feel like that might have been a soft no.
I'm not saying anything.
Your lips are sealed.
I neither confirm or deny anything that you're saying.
Okay.
So that's really good. I also played a little bit of Pinball FX 2. It came out on the Xbox One with a free table. One free table, and then you can buy additional tables. You can either buy some of them individually for like $250 a piece, or you can buy packs of four of them for $10.
That's pretty good. I mean, so free is a great price. First of all, let's just say that. Good entrance fee to get you hooked on it.
Plus, these tables include all of the Marvel tables. So, like, Marvel's Avengers, Thor, Captain America.
Cool.
Hulk. Then you also have all the Star Wars pinball tables. So, Han Solo, Episode 4, Episode 5, Episode 6.
I would lean towards those tables a lot. Here's why. There is there's a studio here in Nashville that actually has a Star Wars pinball machine. And during like breaks and things like that, whenever we were recording, you can go and play pinball in this thing. And obviously they have it rigged to where you don't have to like pay money or put in a quarter or whatever. So it's like you're just kind of like racking up the points and destroying the Death Star over and over again with this table. It's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So I would lean more towards the Star Wars stuff because I actually have experience on those tables.
I think I was reading an article. I cannot remember exactly. I was either reading an article or listening to a podcast, and I think I was reading an article, and it was one of the owners of the studio or creators of the studio. I guess he mentioned that they are moving studios, and they're having to move all their pinball machines over to the new studio, bigger space to house all their – because he said, like, I think they had over, like, 50 pinball tables. Like,
oh, that's
physical
crazy.
Pinball tables that they can play on, and he said that – well, the part that I thought was interesting, he said that whenever they first started designing these games, they would design pieces of them based on pinball tables, real pinball tables.
Nice.
But what's happened now is people who design pinball tables now have started designing and pulling elements from their games and putting it in their real physical pinball tables.
Nice.
So it's like this just turnaround.
This weird reversal of things like that. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And like the tables are really cool. Like there's even the free one. The free one's actually better than the two. I downloaded Guardians of the Galaxy and I downloaded Mars. Like it's actually a lot of fun, and it's more fun than those two that I bought.
So you were telling me before about a weird thing that happens that like screws up your game sometimes.
Oh, yes. So if you play this on your Xbox and say a friend pops online or you get an achievement, the little toast notification pops up right over your flippers at the bottom of the screen. So the first time it happened, somebody came online and I was like, no, and I'm like, ball goes straight through my flippers.
That's awesome.
So now I just pause it. It's a kind of a flaw. You would think, like, because some games move the location of the notifications.
Yeah, you'd think they would do something like that.
Well, some of them do that.
Yeah.
And you can make them do that.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, I think they need to fix that.
They need to patch that sucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also played some of I can't remember that there's another free game on Xbox something F-Zero. No, not F-Zero. Strike Suit Zero.
Yes,
that's what
that's
it's called.
It.
And so I played a little bit of that. It's okay. It's
yay or nay.
Yeah. I mean, if you're really looking to kill some time.
Free is a good price to kill some time.
That's true. Free is a good price.
Free is a good price to kill some time.
Yeah. And but you know, it's whatever. You know, if you kind of like dual stick kind of things.
You've got extra time on your hands, that sort
exactly,
of thing.
Exactly, exactly. But other than that, I also, I've caught up with Girl Meets World.
Nice. Yes. I haven't even watched the first episode. I'm really interested in the show. I really want to watch
it. That's the thing. It started off kind of rough. It started off and it was like, what is this? Like, it was kind of like, you know, it's as we've discussed before, I'm not a huge fan of pilot episodes of TV shows.
Yeah.
You know, like, it takes a minute for shows to kind of get their rhythm.
Yeah, and for people to really figure out what the character is, and then for the writers to turn around and start writing the character for that actor.
Yep, I agree with that fully. But the best part about this show is the fact that this does feel like, you know, like it's Corey and Topanga and their kids. Corey's a teacher at the school, and it's about
is
their
is he the
daughter.
Mr. Feeny?
No, and that's what's awesome. Like there is really no Mr. Feeny. Like he,
cool.
Yes, he imparts and he shares the wisdom that he has gained over the years, but he in no means fills the Mr. Feeny role of every single time you have a problem, you go talk to him.
Gotcha.
You know, he very like the thing that I love about it is it still feels like Corey and Topanga. Like it doesn't feel like all of a sudden, well, they've grown up and now they're different people.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Which that's not what happens to people anyway.
No.
You know, and like your personalities are still very similar, and like you're still going to find things like same kind of things funny and like. It's really cool the way that they've written their characters to grow up and be adults now and have kids and how they relate to them and stuff like that. I really like it.
That's cool.
And that's the best part about it.
That's cool. I always think the reverse of that is strange. Like whenever you have like an ongoing show and people have developed their personalities and then you flash back to them as a kid and yeah. they're like a completely different person.
Exactly.
Like, or a completely different kid. And it's like, really? I don't see this, you know, so like that kind of disconnect kind of takes you out of that universe or whatever, because, you know, while if you flash back to people's childhood, it's like they're essentially like they can be the similar personalities, the same, you know, demeanors, that sort of thing, while they're kids too.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, you also have to remember last time we saw them, they were in college. And like, you know, really honestly, by college time, by the end of college, you've kind of formed the kind of adult you're going to be, like the person you're going to be as an adult.
Yeah. They were like, they were pretty far along, like too, weren't they? Like, I mean, this was,
I think
like
they're graduating
the end of
college. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, it's just really cool. And like even their daughter, like what's cool is they, you know, like, Corey's kind of and Ben Savage's kind of humor where he like it's almost overacting, but it's not, you know, it is overacting, but it's funny.
Yeah.
It's not like it doesn't feel like you're just overacting because you're a bad actor.
Right.
You're doing it because it's funny. But they write his daughter like that.
That's
cool. And it's really cool like seeing bits and pieces of that same kind of humor and same kind of personality in her character.
That's
really cool.
That's awesome. Well, I'm gonna have to catch up on that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
So earlier you mentioned the tables that were Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ooh.
And that's a movie that has already come out.
Yes.
But we're gonna be talking about movies that have not come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
But first, the news.
The news.
So Chris, the news.
The news. All right. So, news item number one. You've written down the word preload.
Yes, I have written down the word. Okay, so we put together the news that we, again, we kind of pick out. We don't list off all the news because you can go on wherever and just read through lists and gobs of news. There's entire news organizations out there that you can grab news. But
yes,
this is the news,
John, we know
that we care
these.
About.
Okay, yes.
So preloading is coming to Xbox One.
Yes.
This is something we found out about at the end of Gamescom, and he listed Phil Spencer.
Didn't we talk about this?
We sort of did. I don't know if we touched on it in our post-Gamescom, but it's come sooner than he actually originally announced. He mentioned a few games that it's coming to later this year, but it has actually appeared this week via Madden. And also, this morning... I guess we were recording this Thursday. Destiny popped up as a preload on your Xbox One.
And I think people have been able to download it.
Yes, people downloaded it. It's like 18 plus gigs or whatever.
That doesn't seem big enough, dude.
It doesn't seem big enough.
That's weird.
I mean, imagine the day one patch is going to be pretty big.
Call of Duty was 50 gigs.
Was it really?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
It was a 50 gig install.
I don't know. I also think about like other games that are very small. Like if they do data management correctly, like... games can be smaller, but I want to say that Titanfall was around 30 or 40 gigs.
Yeah.
Like, it was really big. Anyway, so we'll see. We'll see.
Big enough.
We'll see if this actually ends up being the actual game or if they're going to have to do it. But it did pop up. People were able to download something. And so, I'm assuming that preloading is going to happen with Destiny, maybe?
I mean, hopefully. I hope it comes with everything.
Yeah.
It needs to start happening.
Yeah.
It's available for everything on preloading and pre-order.
Yeah.
Is available on PlayStation 4, and so
yeah. And one of our friends actually, like I've always said that I would pre-order things digitally that way. Like I would always do that if you could pre-order stuff and preload it on your console and stuff. I would totally go all digital. And one of our
unlocking
friends,
at midnight,
right,
and being able to play at midnight is way better than picking it up at midnight.
Yeah,
driving home, putting in the disc, installing. It's 1 o'clock in the morning by the time you are playing your game.
Yeah, and then if you download it, like if you buy it digitally at night, you gotta download it, and that download, and everybody in the world is probably downloading at that point, and it takes, you know, hours and hours and hours. And so one of our friends actually pre-ordered Destiny from a GameStop, and he pre-ordered it digitally, but they don't give him the code until like that night. And so, like, I feel like if this thing goes on to be a preload thing,
yeah,
couldn't they give him the code beforehand and then he downloads it, that sort of thing? I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know what that means. If that means the codes from the retailers just don't unlock, or if that means that
the code doesn't
you
exist.
Have to pre-order it from the console directly.
That makes sense. Yeah. You know, so we'll see how that develops as far as preloading and on Xbox One goes. Hopefully it happens next week, because I mean Madden comes out a week from now and it's up there for preload, and EA Access, people have access to it for 6 hours or so.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll see if next week we get a preloaded Destiny.
Yep.
The other news item that I had was BioShock is coming to iOS.
It's actually out.
It's out, yeah. It's out on iOS devices. So if you haven't played BioShock, or if you want to relive it on a smaller,
I'm going to tell you, if you haven't played BioShock, yeah. Do not let the mobile, your phone, be the first place you play it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because it is, but, I mean, you know.
Hey, I mean.
If you won't play it any other way, then yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
If you have a console or PC, play it there, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, if you are, I mean, even just, I want to say.
How much is it, do you know?
It's $15, I want to say. Let me look real quick.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good game. Like, I just, like, especially with the phone. It's such a it's such an atmospheric game, and it relies on the environment and basically like all the sights and sounds of this world to put you in this world. That's what makes this so intriguing. Like, you've got your fingers all over the screen trying to, like, you know, press buttons for your guns and switch weapons and stuff like that, your plasmids. I can't imagine, like, this being
the definitive version of this game.
No.
Supposedly, they've done a better job than most people have thought, and it'll be interesting to try it out for sure.
See how much it was?
$15. $14.99.
That's a lot. I mean, that's about the max I'll pay for a mobile game.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still, it's $15.99 for a really, probably the best shooter on an iOS device.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you could play that same price to buy it, you know, on, if you have a 360 or a PS3. Yeah. Or PC, like, definitely get it there.
Yeah.
Same price, like, better experience.
For sure. The PlayStation Network was down over the weekend.
Yeah, so, this is crazy story. All right, so, there was a DDoS attack on PlayStation. It was actually against a lot of people.
Right.
PlayStation, or the PSN was affected. Battle.net was affected for Hearthstone and Blizzard. Xbox Live was hit. They even went so far, the same people took credit for tweeting out a tweet that said, that tagged this Sony's president, American president.
Yeah, this is terrible.
And said that there was a bomb on his plane, and told the TSA to check it out. And so his plane got rerouted to another airport to check out the fact that there might be a bomb on his plane.
So here we go. So we have digital terrorists now turning into physical terrorists, like terrorists in the physical world. Like, digital terrorism, that's terrible. It's bad. You know, I mean, shutting down a network, like so many networks, for millions of people. I mean, that's just terrible. Like, why would you do this? What purpose does this serve?
I don't get the point of it, because it's like, is it just to prove you can do it? Is that what it is?
Well, we all know that hackers can do this stuff. It's like you get, you know, a DDoS attack. It's like you're basically requesting a server for information and overloading the servers to where no one can have access other than your requests.
Right.
Like, that's what happens. And so, like, to do that, everybody knows that you can down a server by doing stuff like that. But it's frustrating, because it's like, what is the goal here? Just to, you know, make a bunch of people mad at you? Or is the goal just, you know, for kicks? You know, but then you turn that into like literally a terrorist phone call of, oh, you know, there's a bomb on such and such plane. It's like that turns it into something completely different.
Right.
Where it's like, that's ridiculous.
I think they said now the FBI is getting involved and probably good. Homeland Security. And I mean, it's ridiculous. If you're out there, don't do this stuff. This is stupid.
It's terrible.
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
It makes everyone annoyed. And annoyed.
It really doesn't, like, who does this help? This helps no one. This is the definition of, like, antisocial society.
It doesn't, yeah, exactly.
Yep. Anyway, so the other is some good news. Talking about antisocialness, Walking Dead Season 4 is out. On DVD.
How is that antisocial?
I don't know. I was thinking all the zombies, they're dead, they're not social. I don't know. I don't know.
They're not social beings?
It was a big stretch.
You don't think they communicate with each other?
I feel like they probably might. I don't know. They might have some weird, like, zombie culture.
Did you read Stephen King's Cell?
I did. That's a great book.
They could all communicate. Spoiler alert.
That was a really big spoiler. You don't find that stuff out until, like, the end.
No, it's like halfway through.
Yeah, but still.
They can.
And I think even at that point, you still, like, wonder if maybe they can. Like, I feel like it's up in the air until, like, the last fourth of the book.
Maybe the one person out there who's in the middle of reading this book, he's like, dang it!
That was on page 4. Or no, maybe he's really invested. He's just, like, super invested
in it. They could, it was telepathic.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And I also think that it, on the actual show, didn't in season two, they dealt with some of the stuff where like a plane goes over and they all kind of herd together. Like they, you know, if one goes a direction.
What show are we talking about? There was never
Walking Dead.
Oh, Walking Dead. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where the like the plane goes over.
That's true.
And they all kind of herd together. So yeah. I think that they have a social kind of interaction with each other, you know, in their in their hunt for brains.
Season four, though.
Yes.
We've talked about this before.
Yes.
Did we review season four?
We reviewed, I think we reviewed the
finale?
The mid-season finale.
Oh, man. Well.
And then we talked about the season finale. You talked about it anyway.
The mid-season finale, we should have reviewed the finale because it is one of the best pieces of television I've ever seen in my life.
That's what you said. It was a pick of the week. That's what it was. It was your pick of a week back in the day.
It could be my pick of every week. It was so good. I've watched that thing. I think I've watched the entire back half of the season three times.
That's crazy.
As well, including the finale three times.
That's crazy.
Like, it is so good. Like, the front half, like, I think you're still kind of dealing with things from the previous season.
Gotcha.
And it sets things up for the and it was still a good front half of the season. No, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But
well, they were dealing. I think whenever I because I watched most of the first half. Like, I think I watched the season, like the mid season finale. But I don't know if I caught every episode prior to that. But it was really good. And the first, I think they were dealing with a lot of things that had been carryovers from the last season and stuff like that. You know, so I think they once they tied all that into a pretty bow.
Yeah.
And set it off into the world. Literally,
this
you know, it got crazy. So,
man, the back half was so good, and the season finale was, man, I would watch that right now.
Well, you can, Chris. You can go out and get the Blu-ray and watch it right now.
I might just do that just for that episode.
That's awesome.
I'll just buy that disc.
Actually, maybe just that disc. You could rent just that disc, probably.
That's true. Maybe I'll just buy that one episode off of iTunes.
iTunes. I was about to say that. Hey, have we gotten to the point? I guess Blu-ray burners aren't really a thing.
No.
But it's like you haven't gotten to the point where you can transfer like a HD iTunes like purchase into a physical disc.
No,
right?
I don't think they'll ever let you do that. I mean, that's, yeah. I don't know. That,
most TVs, though, they will let you put like flash drives and hard drives into them now.
That's true. But can I watch that? I don't have an Apple TV. If I had an Apple TV, it would work.
I know the PS3 allowed you to watch like almost anything off of a hard drive that was connected, like almost any media. So
I'll have to try it. Yeah. Actually, that's another thing. DLNA support has come to Xbox One. You can put in a thumb disk.
Nice.
And watch files from any of your drives. Oh, it doesn't have to be a thumb disk. It could be a hard drive.
Cool. So you could potentially get that episode of The Walking Dead, like, plug it into a thumb drive.
iTunes puts this weird copy protection on all their stuff. But I don't know.
Well, hey, that's the news. All right, Chris.
Yeah.
Hit me with some movie previews.
All right, this is what we're going to do.
Okay. What are we going to do?
We were discussing earlier. Have a lot more. I'm a lot more aware.
Yeah.
Of the movies that are coming out.
It's like you were listing some of these things to me. I listed the ones that I thought about, but yes. Then it's like you started listing, and I was like, I've never heard of most of these movies.
That's a problem.
That is a big problem. But I will say this: I will be like the extra guy on nighttime television or whatever, the guy who kind of stands in the corner and like riffs off of your thing. So I'll just be poking fun at your presentation.
That
sounds like
please,
a bad
please
idea.
Please don't do that.
Sounds like a really bad idea.
But how about I educate you?
It's like Riff Tracks Live, you know?
I don't know how I think about this. But we're going to go month by month.
Month by month. Okay, that's a great idea.
October, November, December.
Okay, so that's what we're calling fall.
So maybe we'll start with a different month.
Maybe September?
Yeah, hang on.
I feel like September could be
Let me look at my list and see where I'm starting. I don't remember now. Yeah, we're starting in... September.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So, September has some good movies.
Okay.
Yes. There's going to be several of them. First movie is A Walk Among the Tombstones.
Yes.
Liam Neeson.
Awesome.
Looks like a classic Liam Neeson flick.
Someone gets taken. Is he in an airplane?
No, he's not in an airplane, but it involves guns and fighting.
That's good.
Yeah, and
as you would expect from Liam Neeson.
Yeah, lots of action.
You know, Liam Neeson. There was an article I read recently where it said Liam Neeson was thinking about being the Bond, like the next Bond.
I think he's getting too old.
No, but like back whenever they were looking for, the current Bond. He was going to be the next Bond, or no, wait, maybe it was before that. It was the one before that. So it was the one with what's his name,
Craig.
Yes,
Daniel Craig.
No, the one right before that.
Oh, Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, well, he was like Ugh. Around then it would have happened. But it's like
Those
he
are
has
bad
this
movies.
He has this really awesome I guess you would call it his portfolio of movies, like his action portfolio. So arguably, you know, he didn't need the whole Bond thing, but it's he said, you know, he did say that they were thinking about him for Bond.
I mean, I guess I could kind of see that.
Yeah, you know, just action star.
That comes out September 19th, directed by Scott Frank. I don't know. It'll be a pretty good action movie if you're looking for that.
Yeah.
Also, there's The Maze Runner, which I'm not looking forward to this at all. You're looking forward to it. Yeah. I think it looks terrible.
I'm excited for this thing. I saw the preview, and I mean, I was intrigued.
It's
and
based
so,
on a young adult novel. Yeah. Another one of those.
It's one of the ones that has spawned from the success of things like Harry Potter and Catching Fire or not Catching Fire. I keep calling it Catching
you
Fire.
Mean Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. Hunger Games.
But then I also think of Hunger Games, Divergent.
Yeah, Divergent.
Now this.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I mean, we'll see.
Hollywood's on this kick right now.
But see, I mean, they keep making money is the thing. And so whenever things keep making money, they will continue.
Or
so.
The ones with Robert Pattinson and...
Yeah, Twilight.
Twilight, you know, those things. Yeah. But yeah, it comes out September 19th, directed by Wes Bell.
Yeah. So I'm excited for it.
It's a John pick.
Yeah.
There is The Equalizer.
The Equalizer.
With Denzel Washington. So, funny story about this. So, I guess this was a TV show back in the, like, 70s, 80s, something like that.
Yeah.
Whenever...
so, like, A-Team, that kind of time?
Do you remember
or
in,
like
in Wolf of Wall Street?
Yes.
Whenever Jordan Belfort's father is introduced, he is at home watching television. He gets a phone call and gets very upset that his show is getting interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
The show that he's watching is The Equalizer.
So that gives you like a time frame of reference there and for like the market audience, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So
The Equalizer with Denzel Washington, like what's the premise of this equal? Does he go and equalize things like with
80s TV show?
With giant EQ like knobs? I'm thinking audio here.
I'm telling you all that I know about The Equalizer, literally.
He just equalizes. Maybe like whenever he sees like two cups of water and they're not equal, he'll like pour one into the other and make them equal.
Yeah.
I think that maybe it's just like a weird nervous tick.
Yeah. We also have, let's move on into October.
October. So the leaves are turning, you know, all the pumpkins. You're gearing up for Halloween, putting up all the spider webs and things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We lead off the month with a movie that I am very looking forward to, Gone Girl.
Gone Girl.
Based on a book, directed by David Fincher, starring Ben Affleck and Neil Patrick Harris.
So what's funny about this is the first time you pitched
Rosalind
this to me
Pike.
A while back, you said Neil Patrick Harris, and then you said Ben Affleck. And
yes.
I thought comedy. But this is not going to be like
no.
a comedy.
Nope. No. This is a dark drama. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. You know, last thing Fincher did was Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
He also did, he was the producer and I guess directed the pilot episode of House of Cards.
Did House of Cards. So, yes. He
kind of that style.
You
that
know,
dark
also director
tone.
Of Fight Club. You know, and so like this is his next film, and I'm really looking forward to it. Basic premise is the girl goes missing, hence the title, Gone Girl. And you got to figure out what happened.
Nice.
So it sounds like a classic whodunit. And hopefully we'll find out who done it.
There you go.
Yeah. That comes out, did I say, on October 3rd.
You said first in the month.
Yes.
So I assumed pretty early.
Yes. Laggies is another movie that looks pretty good. It stars Keira Knightley, Chloe Grace Moretz, and Sam Rockwell. I love Sam Rockwell.
Cool.
One of my favorite actors.
Well, Keira Knightley is really good. In everything she's into. I mean,
yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff there.
Did you ever see Seeking a Friend for the End of the World?
No, I didn't.
Great,
good?
Great movie.
When did that come out? The name
that was
familiar,
a couple years ago.
Yeah,
but it was her and it was her and Steve Carell.
Nice.
Yeah, and it was basically like the Earth is about to get hit by asteroids and.
Chaos ensues.
Chaos, but like more so, like people actually like started kind of figuring out what it meant to actually like live in the world and like do what they wanted to do.
Faced with their own mortality.
Yeah, faced with their own mortality, that kind of thing. And it was a very good movie.
What type of person do you become? That sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So, have I been given a good synopsis of these movies?
I think so. We could have a little bit more, but I think the fact that they're your picks of like the movies that are coming out is really the biggest thing. So.
Yeah, there's one called The Judge. starring Robert Downey Jr. and Robert Duvall. That seems really, really cool.
Robert Downey, like, he's been on a really big kick, and it's awesome because we see him in roles like Iron Man and stuff like that, and so I think a lot of people associate him with that. But I love his, like, dramas and the, you know, whenever he steps out of kind of the action hero role, which I think we're gonna see more
Robert
of
Downey?
Him. Yeah, whenever we're gonna see way more of him doing that in the future.
I mean, he's a great actor. You know, like, he can do comedy, he can do drama, he can do action. And this one, basically, Robert Duvall is his father, who is a judge in a small town. He is a lawyer. His father is accused of a hit and run. He comes back to defend him or to prosecute him. Hang on.
One or the other. It doesn't matter. Either one is a conflict of interest. Either one, drama ensues.
Yes. I cannot remember. I did not write that one down.
But either way.
Yes. Birdman starring... have you heard about this?
No, I haven't heard about this.
Birdman stars Michael Keaton.
Is this a remake, though?
Edward Norton. Nope. No. Naomi Watts. Okay. Emma Stone. Zach Galifianakis.
Wow.
Okay, so this is the story. So it's basically... Birdman is another way of saying Batman. And so it's like... this is like a dystopian kind of satire about Michael Keaton.
About Batman.
About the fact... so he plays himself.
Right.
Who is a washed up actor who played Birdman, quote unquote, Birdman, and that's all he was able to do. And
that's awesome.
So, like, and he tries to get back into acting by doing the stage presentation, and all these people, like, you know, enter his life in some way.
I'm sold on this already.
I know, dude. It looks amazing.
It sounds amazing. Like, I'm excited about that. That is great.
Yeah, directed by Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu. He's the guy who directed Babel. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, dude, that was a great movie.
And so it looks cool. The Judge, I forgot to say, is directed by David Dobkin. That's The Judge is released in October 10th. Birdman released on October 17th. Looks really, really good.
That's awesome.
Really looking forward to it. Notable mention here.
Okay.
Is Left Behind. Nicolas Cage comes out on October 3rd.
Dude, and like, this is like, I think you said, this is the quintessential Nicolas Cage movie.
I mean, he knows something no one else knows. That's him.
He knows something no one else knows.
This national treasure.
Yeah.
That's the movie Next.
Yep.
Knowing?
They put it in the title.
In the freaking title.
They put it in the title. They were just like, oh, let's, like, no illusions here.
Nope.
Nicolas Cage knows something that no one else does.
Yeah.
Let's call it Knowing.
Yep. Let's move on to November. Let's start with the biggest movie of the fall. In November.
Is this your biggest movie, or is this potentially like the biggest
movie? This is the biggest
movie. Okay.
If you don't see this movie, you are a moron.
Wow.
Interstellar.
Wow. Okay, yeah.
Christopher Nolan's next movie with Matthew McConaughey, Jessica Chastain, Anne Hathaway looks unbelievable. Like, the... from what I can tell, it revolves around humans leaving Earth and somehow, like,
leaving the galaxy.
Yeah, like somehow, like, using wormholes to like travel large distances across space and possibly time.
So
I don't know.
As far as like I all understood it, again, like, I am one of those anti-spoiler crazy people who I actually don't watch trailers. Like, I'll listen to the monologue or whatever, but I try not to watch the visuals of a trailer as it goes by most of the time, if I know that I'm going to see it. And this is one that it seems like the world is in a state of disrepair where it's not going to survive. Like, the people on the Earth can't survive that
like
much longer.
Yeah, there's some kind of, like, either some kind of a catastrophe has happened, or there's a food shortage or something. There's like something that's happening.
And they have to seek out a new place to you know, to survive.
The visuals look amazing. Like, something that I love about Christopher Nolan is the fact that he tries, within reason, to always use on-screen effects. So whenever you think about, you know, for instance, the hallway
that's right.
What is the movie?
Oh, Inception.
Inception. Yeah, when they're fighting in the hallway and it's turning and spinning. Like, he built a long hallway and they're turning and spinning.
Right.
Like, it could have all been done on green screen, but he doesn't do that.
He did it in sync style.
All these locations where they're supposed to be on other planets or out in space, those are physical locations, and, you know, Iceland and Greenland.
Out in space.
And exactly, out in space, other planets. He shot this on other planets, people.
He went out of the galaxy.
Yeah. The other awesome
Christopher
thing.
Christopher Nolan, he can do it.
Awesome thing about this is that a lot of it, I think A lot of it was shot on IMAX, and he's done this before for The Dark Knight, and he uses it very well, switching back and forth between, you know, like what is shot on IMAX film, what is not.
Right.
I bet you probably like opening sequence, end sequence, and then anything in space is probably shot on IMAX film. The best part about this is it should be, if you are close to an IMAX that projects on film, has the capacity to do the full frame.
So non-digital.
Film, non-digital.
And actually, we had this huge discussion about this on a podcast.
Yeah,
I'll link talking this. About IMAX. So yes, I will write that down so we can link that.
I'll also be putting up all the trailers of all these movies on stayontargetpodcast.com in the article. But so you can watch them if you want to watch the trailers. But he went to all these physical locations for these for the shots, and like that, it's just so amazing. You know, like you think about something like Man of Steel, where like there was so much of that just not.
Well, almost any superhero movie anymore is like, I mean, vast majority of even the action, the actors aren't even doing, they're just putting their faces in there and that sort of thing. So,
yeah.
But something like this, he's shooting it on actual IMAX film,
yeah,
which is incredible. Like that's kind of a lost art in and of itself now, because people just do digital and just do the digital IMAX thing where it's not really true classic IMAX film. But he does it right. And the thing I love about, I guess, the Nolan brothers, Jonathan Nolan and Christopher Nolan, is that they don't dumb down their movies for audiences. They assume audiences are smart and audiences can follow these things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I miss a lot about current like Hollywood movies is just the smartness, you know, where you have to follow. Like you have to follow their films, and they assume that you're going to follow. They assume that you're going to pay attention and that you're making all the connections and they present things to you so you can make those connections.
Right.
So
yeah, like the thing about this movie is it's Christopher Nolan, one of my favorite directors of all time, and Matthew McConaughey, which like he's hot right now, but he's always been one of my favorite actors. Even whenever he was doing chick flicks, you know, like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is one of my favorite movies.
But Sahara.
But even
Steve Zahn in that guy.
Even whenever
Uma Thurman's in that.
Even whenever he was doing that, those kind of movies, like it was like you could always tell like underneath, like he was doing it, but he was doing it with like a wink and a smile. Like he could, like you knew he was capable of more. And I think, you know, the past couple years, you know, he's really stepped up with Dallas Buyers Club and True Detective. And now Interstellar, you know, like, oh my gosh, dude, this guy, he's a great actor. I'm really looking forward to this movie.
Yeah, great.
We also, in October, have The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1.
Dude, awesome.
Yeah, coming out the 21st.
Yes, and here's the thing. I think we can confirm
November, sorry, not October. November.
That we're planning on reviewing both Interstellar and Mockingjay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So both of those movies. Maybe if we can fill out the rest of the month. Last year, we did a November movie month here on Stay on Target podcast. So hopefully, if we can fill out the rest of the weeks, we might be able to do something like that. But at least those two movies.
Couple of other, like we have The Crew coming out.
Yeah, some games.
We have, but we'll try to do November movie month. Yeah. We'll at least be talking about movies all month.
Yeah, every week.
Another movie, Dumb and Dumber 2. Looks really funny. I'm really looking forward to it. I love Dumb and Dumber. I'm glad that we have an actual Dumb and Dumber, a second Dumb and Dumber with the actual actors.
Yeah.
With Jeff Daniels and Jim Carrey. That looks really funny. It's coming out on the November 14th.
I guess I'm kind of less excited about that one, but I will give it a shot probably. I don't know if I'll see it in theaters or anything, but I'll probably give it a shot.
I think you're wrong about this.
I don't know. It's just one of those that the first one was such a classic film and it was so timely whenever it came out and stuff. It's just, I don't know. We'll see how it lives up. So.
Yeah. Horrible Bosses 2 comes out. Jason Bateman, Jason Sudeikis, Charlie Day, Chris Pine, and Christoph Waltz. I think
Christoph Waltz is an interesting one in there.
Yeah, it's an interesting pick. I think he's one of the bosses this time.
That's cool.
But
I love Christoph.
What's his face is coming back as a boss. What is his name? He's in House of Cards.
Kevin Spacey?
Yes, Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey, Jennifer Aniston, and Jamie Foxx are all coming back. I think
Kevin Spacey's
cameo roles.
Kevin Spacey's going to be in Call of Duty. He's doing House of Cards. He's doing now this movie. I mean, Kevin Spacey's getting around too, man.
Yeah, yeah. That comes out on the 26th. Big Hero 6, which is Disney's next animated movie, looks like a lot of fun. It's coming out on November 7th.
And that's the one that's like he's a hero, like it's a kind of a Marvel type of a story, comic booky kind of my story, but it's kind of done in this Pixar type animation, which is really fun. I'm really excited about that one. That one's gonna be really fun.
Yeah. He basically has like this robot that's actually a balloon. And I was talking to Fultron, who's been on the podcast before, a friend of the podcast, a friend of Stay on Targets. He was talking about something he was watching where they described the process that they went through. Like, he's a balloon, basically, and so he has to move and like a balloon. He can't just move like, you know, a robot. And so, right. Like, they had to develop this program that would actually make him look like a balloon and like a physics engine that would do that. But in the process, they also, like, as a byproduct of that, was they were able to write a program that if you put any kind of shape into this program, it could pop out 3D printing directions on like, you could print your own balloon.
Dude, that's awesome.
In any shape possible. And it would figure out, like, say you wanted something indented, it would figure out, like, that it would tie things to the back of the balloon, like, to make the inside of an ear indented or something like that.
And that's cool.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. But movie looks cool. Looks like it'll be a lot of fun. Disney Animation's kind of on a roll right now.
Oh yeah, and plus, like, I'm really excited about kind of the lighthearted Pixar-ish take on like a superhero. You know, it's like,
yeah,
we've got the Marvel movies, we've got the DC movies, and arguably all of those are getting darker and darker, and or save for Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff like that. You know, there's some of them that are light spots, but it's like this is going to be like a kid's kind of movie. Yeah. You know, it's gonna be a kid's take on it, and so it's nice to see.
I mean, this is a Marvel property,
right? And it's nice to see that we haven't forgotten, I guess, about that. You know, these comics started with, you know, kind of for kids. So let's not forget about our, you know, market.
I wonder if this will this be in the same like cinematic Marvel cinematic universe?
I doubt it. I bet you they will start a if this one does well. I suspect
Big Hero 6 universe.
Yeah, I suspect they'll start kind of a that side of the universe. Yeah. Where they'll do kind of the Disney animation take on some other Marvel heroes that that maybe show up, and maybe there might be some overlap. Not necessarily like maybe they'll exist in parallel. Mm-hmm. Maybe Rocket Raccoon will show up or something like that in a cartoon. But
yeah,
you know. Hopefully. That's my hope anyway.
Another movie coming out on the 7th of November is Rosewater. So this is Jon Stewart's directorial debut. And the thing that intrigues me about this is it's about an Iranian journalist. I'm going to butcher this name. Mazyar Bahari. He was arrested following the 2009 presidential election in Iran, because he was, quote-unquote, an American sympathizer. And they used the fact that he had come on Jon Stewart's show as a key point in his arrest. And so this is a movie about that.
So Jon Stewart has, like, some inside knowledge there,
yeah, potentially. Yeah, I think that, you know, kind of, like, made this something that he was like, yeah, I want to make this movie about about this guy's life. And so I think it'll be really cool. You know, like, it's, you know, Jon Stewart, you know, I've watched him, you know, in debates before. He debated Bill O'Reilly last year. I think it was last year or 2 years ago. And he's good at comedy, but he, whenever he gets serious, like, he's also good at, you know, taking a stance on things. And he can, you know, I respect the fact that he is more than just a comedian, you know, poking fun at things.
Oh, yeah. And you're right. I mean, that's always interesting about various comedians and things is whenever they do get serious, you know, and start standing for things, you know, where do they stand and what does that, you know, what does that mean?
Because
it's some interesting points and stuff. I mean, that's intriguing to me. Like, that story just sounds really awesome.
Yeah. Fury is another movie coming out November 14th. It stars Brad Pitt, Logan Lerman, Shia LaBeouf, John Bernthal, and Michael Pena.
Now, you showed me the trailer for this thing, if you guys haven't seen the trailer for this, go to stayontargetpodcast.com and check out the trailer for it. This thing, it looks like to me, and the way I will describe what I think it will be like, is like a slow burn war movie. Like, mm-hmm. if you know, we haven't had really a war movie in a while. Like, we had, you know, Quentin Tarantino do a take on World War II, but we haven't had really Monuments Men, I guess, was the last one. And that was, I don't know, it was kind of like critically received strange. I mean, I want to say that John Goodman was the spotlight in that one. I mean, that was the high point. So
that was a Steven Soderbergh movie, you know, like, so that had its had the trappings of a Steven Soderbergh movie. Yeah.
But this looks like a war movie that is like a slow burn with a big battles and epic moments.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if that's, you know, it's kind of, you know, you can't watch those all the time. Like if you watch Saving Private Ryan every day, you'd go insane.
Oh yeah.
But definitely I think that, you know, this is going to be awesome and definitely worth checking out. So, Fury, head over and watch the trailer.
Fury's the name of a tank in World War II, and it's basically the story of the tank battalion and their experience during the war, directed by David Ayer. I actually forgot to mention, before we move on to December,
okay.
I forgot to mention in October...
Going back in time.
Yes, it's a movie called Nightcrawler, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, comes out October 17th.
Well, you also showed me the trailer for this, and yes, it looks nuts and really dark and really like...
Insane?
Like a scary, insane movie. Like,
yes,
in a realistic sort of way. Like, that's the thing about some movie, like horror movies or whatever. A lot of times you're like, well, yeah, but that, you know, it's really scary. But, you know, in a, like, if it's a Godzilla movie, okay, it's a scary movie, but it's Godzilla. You know? But this looks like a scary movie in a way where this probably has happened.
Oh, yeah. So, like, it's this guy who, I guess, starts just randomly tagging along and trying to find crime scenes to get footage so he could get it to a local news station. So he's kind of like, you know, TMZ? You think about... Yeah, TMZ. You kind of think about, like, at first it's like a weird, like, say Peter Parker took a dark turn, you know, like, where he is setting up these crime scenes and like photographs
rather than just setting up Spider-Man, you know,
yeah,
glamour shots.
He's going to crime scenes and, I mean, actually committing crimes while he's there, like because he's, you know, withholding information from police and he looked like messing with crime scenes and stuff like that. And so, like, dude, it just looks so dark and so messed up. But it looks really good. Like a really good thriller. December. Yeah, we're coming.
Snow has started to fall. There's jingle bells off in the distance. Just close your eyes and imagine that it's colder outside, even though it's 101 degrees or whatever it is.
Yeah, we're coming to the end. There's a movie called Wild with Reese Witherspoon. It looks pretty good. The big ones, though, are Exodus, starring Christian Bale.
So this is jumping on board, riding the wake of the Noah.
Like, yeah. Yes. The yes.
Old Testament based films.
The religious films. It looks really cool. Like it, you know, it's gonna be kind of like Noah, where it's like, okay, this is an interpretation. This is not like a verse by verse retelling of the story. But it looks really cool. Like, I like Christian Bale a lot. It's Ridley Scott directing, and I love him. And so, yeah.
The only thing I will say is we will be forever comparing this to Prince of Egypt, the DreamWorks animated
animated film. Sure, you can do that.
We will be forever comparing it to that. The side by side analysis, frame by frame, going through.
I think the biggest movie of the month is The Hobbit: The Battle of the Five Armies.
Smaug comes back.
It's this is the final one.
This is the last one. This is the last movie. Trip to Middle Earth ever.
Martin Freeman
on film.
Cate Blanchett, Evangeline Lilly, directed by Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson.
Yep.
Mr. Jackson. So, how many movies has he come out with? This isn't his fifth movie, is it? Because
Peter
would be the
Jackson?
Jackson 5.
Oh, no. He's had more than that.
Sorry, that was a really bad joke. Mm-hmm. However, okay, so I have mixed feelings about this film.
What?
No, I have mixed feelings because
Smog was awesome.
It's going to be over. Like, there's no more trips back, and it's like, however stretched out The Hobbit, the first film was, The Unexpected Journey, the second one was amazing.
Yeah.
And even though it had its slow moments too, this one's going to be amazing and probably going to have a few slow moments there, but to be honest, I just would go back and watch films, new films, just to go back to Middle Earth. Like, I would go back into this world every year or every other year for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And it's going to be over. It's really, you think they're going to do anything else with some of the expanded works of J.R. Tolkien or J.R.R. Tolkien?
If they did, it would be years from now. You know, like, what was the gap between Lord of the Rings and Hobbit? You know, 10 years.
Yeah.
And
in that one, we won't even have actors. We'll just have CG.
Yeah, we don't even need actors. If Peter Jackson's at the helm, you don't need any actors for sure. Yeah, I mean, it'll be a while, and I don't know that, you know, like, this just consumes so much of his life. It's kind of like, you know, George Lucas. That's why he hated, I think, the idea of doing more Star Wars movies himself, was because, like, he didn't want to spend the rest of his life just doing Star Wars movies. You know, he wanted to just be able to enjoy it. Yeah, exactly. And so I don't see Peter Jackson going back. I mean, he didn't want to do these. You know, we had two different directors before him attached. He was just executive producing, and it turned out, well, no one can do it. Like, I think everyone's kind of like, you know, like, dude, no one can do this, Peter, except for you. And he's like, all right, fine, I'll do it. And, you know, it's just a huge undertaking. I just don't see him doing it again.
Part of me almost wishes that somebody, we would have seen somebody else take it and see what happens, you know?
I'm okay, just though. Like, see. You know, it's consistent, you know? Like, it is. And, you know, it's...
Well, sort of.
It's different, but it's still consistent as far as the look of the world and the, you know, like... the characters and so
and the awesomeness of a dragon,
yeah.
Smaug.
We also have a remake of Annie coming out, starring Jamie Foxx.
It's a hard knock life for us,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'll see if that's your thing. It comes out on December 19th. Also, Night of the Museum, Secret of the Tomb, Ben Stiller, Rebel Wilson, also one of
Robin Williams.
Yeah, final movies.
Yeah.
So that's coming out on the 19th as well. Mm. The final movie that I wanted to call out coming out in December, coming out on Christmas, is The Interview.
The big on Christmas Day!
Yeah, The Interview with Seth Rogen and James Franco. So the story behind this is they get sent as spies into North Korea to kill Kim Jong-un. Okay, that's the film. Back in real life,
yeah,
Kim Jong-un, I think we talked about this once.
I think we did. Got really mad.
They're really mad. They have said that this is an act of war. And yep.
Took somehow, it as an act of war from the U.S. government.
From the U.S. government, because they cannot separate the fact that our media and Hollywood operate independently from our government.
And all of our citizens act independently from the government.
Why? Because they exert total control over their creative industries. And so
it's communism. Yeah,
exactly. So we'll see if he gets mad and blows something up whenever the movie releases. I'm pretty sure nothing will happen. Looking forward to the movie because it looks really funny.
You would hope and pray that nothing bad
yes,
happens.
Yes, I am.
So.
Yes.
Gosh.
Yes.
Oof.
Yeah. But it looks really good.
Yeah.
So that's it, man. That's the next 4 months.
Wow, you just like put a bunch of dates on my calendar where I'm gonna go see these movies and dedicated, you know, oodles of cash to this.
Yes.
So I mean, you know. But okay, so here's my question.
Yeah.
If you were only going to see if you were only gonna see one, I know which one it would be.
Yeah.
Interstellar. Obviously. But if you were only going to see four movies,
okay,
let's just say which four would you be most excited to go see?
Interstellar.
Okay.
Hunger Games, Fury, and probably that other one I showed you, Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler, okay. Yeah. So my four would be, the first two are the same. So it would be Interstellar, and it would be Hunger Games.
All right.
The next one on the list is the Marvel/Disney film.
Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6. And then the other one would probably have to be Fury, but just because it's like, it's... That kind of realistic kind of war thing, it always, you know, it brings things closer to home, brings history close to home.
Plus, it's Brad Pitt.
You know,
like, we haven't seen him in like a full. Well, I guess we saw him in World War Z. He's one of my favorite actors. I love him, and this is a role he's built for, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think those are my four. I'm trying to think.
The Hobbit is not on either one of our four.
Actually, to be honest, I might slide The Hobbit above Fury, but it's just because, like, I just love that world and stuff. And I was trying to think of it because I knew there was another one that was of a less serious or more fantastical tone that I was on there. So it was either that one or Maze Runner's, like,
How is that?
I don't know.
It's up toward the top,
dude. I don't know. It just seems like my style of movie where like you just kind of like go in and enjoy it,
turn your brain off,
yeah, entertained for like a couple hours, and then you kind of walk out, you know. No, it would be better than TMNT, I think. So anyway,
we'll see.
I will I will share my thoughts whenever I go see that film.
All right.
I will share my thoughts on it on the podcast. You guys can look forward to it.
All right,
put it down.
I'll put all of these trailers on Inside the Post on sandtargetpodcast.com. you can check us out there.
Yeah. Stanford. You will also link to our podcast on IMAX and the change from true IMAX to digital IMAX and what our thoughts on IMAX are. So
you can prepare yourself before you choose which IMAX theater and which to see Interstellar.
Yes, or whether or not to do IMAX or regular, because we do discuss that as well. Like, what's the pros? Like, is it worth the extra ticket cost?
We do talk about that, yeah.
So, yeah. You guys can listen to that podcast, weigh in.
Yeah.
I think we called up a friend and interrogated them about it.
Yeah, so. It was pretty fun. Yeah. You can find us on Twitter at ChrisWright250.
And JohnWright777.
And I think that's it for this week. We'll see you next time on Stay on Target.